Praise the Lord. Well, let's see how some people praised the Lord in the scriptures after the Lord did marvelous things for them. Praise the Lord. There is a popular story that we read all the time in the scriptures. I want to read one other aspect of it today. In the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 20, we read the story of a great multitude that came up against Judah in the form of Moab, Ammon, and Mount Seir. Now, they could not, the children of Judah, could not go up against these people in their own strength. So they looked unto the Lord. Well, let's consider some aspects of this story again, because there are so many aspects from this story that we can learn from. It was told Jehoshaphat, saying, starting at 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 2. In fact, let me just read it from verse 1. It came to pass after this also that the children of Moab, the children of Ammon, they came together. And later on, Mount Seir joined them as well. And it was told to Jehoshaphat, saying, there's coming a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea, on this side Syria, and so forth. And Jehoshaphat feared. He was afraid. But what did he do when he was afraid? Samuel said, what time I'm afraid? What am I going to do? Well, I'll get into the word some more. And this man was afraid, so he set himself to seek the Lord. And he proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. Now that is the right posture when we are facing situations that come up against us, especially suddenly. You're not even prepared. And you know that you can't win in your own strength. You look at the situation, it's overwhelming. In this case, it was. But Jehoshaphat, he set his heart and himself to seek the Lord. Now, that is a great lesson. Let's always turn to the Lord. No matter what comes up against us, your first step is to turn to the Lord. Set yourself to seek the Lord, just like Jehoshaphat did. And he stood up in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the court. And he said, O Lord God, our fathers, art not thou God in heaven? And rulest not thou over the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thy hand is there not power and might? And as he began to pray, he said, well, there is none that is able to withstand thee. He began to tell God these great things. Art not thou our God who did drive out these inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel and gave it to the seed of Abraham thy friend forever? And they dwelt therein and built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name, saying, if when evil come upon us, and such as the sword, the judgment, pestilence, or famine, and we stand before this house. Remember Solomon's prayer when he dedicated the house of the Lord. When we stand before this house and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and when we cry unto thee in our affliction, then that thou wilt hear and help. Now, behold, the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, who thou would not let Israel invade. And they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not, even as you commanded. Behold, I say now, how they reward us. Now, you see, sometimes you do people good, and what happens? Well, they reward you with evil. So the Lord had instructed the children of Israel when they were coming out of Egypt, go on the other side. Don't mess with these people. Just leave them alone. And they did. You know, so they did not even engage with them and so forth. God forbid them to touch them or to fight against them or to try to destroy them. But instead, these people now turn around and come against them. Now, he said, well, you know, see how they reward us to come to cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit. O our God, will thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Now, listen to this next thing he's going to say. He said, we have no might against this company, great company that came against us. Neither do we know what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. Now, that is the solution. First, he set his heart to seek the Lord. And even when the situation got worse, as these people were getting closer, he knew he couldn't do it in his own strength. But he said, our eyes are upon you, Lord. Yeah, that's how you do it. Yeah, always, that's the beginning of your miracle right there. Give it over to the Lord, and the Lord will take care. And as all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children, the word of the Lord came unto them. And you know the rest of the story. One man named Jahaziel, you know, prophesied how the Lord was going to give them victory without they having to fight, and how they will see the salvation of the Lord. And when Jehoshaphat heard that, he bowed his head with his face to the ground. Now, God's response to him when he set his heart to seek the Lord and turn his eyes to the Lord in the situation that was overwhelming for him was that God gave him a prophetic word. Now, usually, prophetic word, when it comes in situations like that, has the power to create change. You know, one, it'll create change in your heart. The heart of fear turns to a heart of confidence in the Lord. You know, now all of a sudden, Jehoshaphat is encouraged. He started out by being afraid. He wasn't just afraid for himself, he was afraid for his people and for the land. And how that the enemy is coming in to destroy all the young ones, the women and children, and, you know, destroy their land. He was king. So he had due cause to be concerned and be afraid. But when he turned his heart to seek the Lord and put his eyes unto the Lord responded that, I will fight for you. Glory to God. And when he heard that, see, the prophetic word changed his mindset. He received encouragement and said, well, the Lord said he's going to fight for us. We shall not need to fight. However, we must worship. Ha! And he commanded Judah. You know, at first they were fasting and praying for God's help. And once they received the answer of God back to them, they began to worship. At some point in your traveling with prayer, you got to turn it to worship. You can't pray and pray and pray all the time. I mean, well, we ought to always pray and not to faint, but part of that prayer must be worship. When we worship the Lord, you know, in answer to the word that he will speak to you while you are in prayer, and, you know, you receive some words of comfort from him, Holy Spirit will always speak to you when you engage in prayer like that. And he'll give you some words. When you hear that word of comfort, then you worship. And that's what they did here. They worshiped the Lord. Jehoshaphat, he bowed himself to the ground and worshiped the Lord. And he commanded all of Judah. They followed suit. Now you see your leader, your king, worshiping the Lord, bowing down. Well, who are you to still remain standing upright on your feet? Everybody followed his example. They worshiped the Lord. And it was a marvelous thing. And of course, they lifted up their voice on high with praises. They praised the Lord powerfully because of the word. They had not received the victory yet, but the Lord gave them the word that a victory was coming and God was going to fight for them. And they received encouragement and they praised the Lord on high. It says here, they stood up to praise the Lord of the God of Israel with a loud voice on high. All the Levites, the children of the Kehohites and all the people, you know, stood up. And these people knew how to praise the Lord, and they did. And they, you know, rose up early and went for the battle. And anyway, Jehoshaphat, as you know this story, he appointed singers and them that should praise the beauty of holiness. And he put them in front of the army. He said, well, the Lord already said we're not going to fight. But he said we should go out and meet them. So what are we going to do? Well, let's go out praising the Lord then. Yeah. So he put all the praisers in the front and said, well, you guys in the army, you stay behind. The Lord already said you're not going to fight. So let the praises pave the way to our victory. That's right. Pave the way to your victory by your praises. And they did that. And as they praised the Lord, the Bible says, as they began to praise the Lord, you know, they began to praise the Lord. They began to praise the Lord. What did God do? Well, God set ambushments against their enemies. What did he do? Give them a delusion. The spirit of delusion came against them. They started to fight against one another. Two of them combined together, fought the third one, destroyed that one. And after they destroyed that one, they turned, you know, on each other and then destroyed everybody. This man destroyed his neighbor. But they thought they were fighting Israel or Judah. God put a delusion on them and they destroyed one another. Just like the Lord had said, you will not need to fight. Now, this is a great story and we need to think about it. Because sometimes we forget that the Lord is actually able to fight our battles for us. We forget. You know, there is nothing the Lord cannot do. In this case, God actually made their enemies to be fighting themselves. You know, and God can, there is absolutely nothing that God cannot do, especially when he has given you the assurance that he will fight for you. You know, and of course they got the victory that day. And, you know, 3 days they went gathering the spoils, we're told. They did all kinds of things. And it was amazing that the victory that the Lord gave them that day. The children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, utterly to stray and to destroy them. And when they finished doing that, then they turned and helped to destroy one another. Wow. And Jehoshaphat came to the watchtower in the wilderness and looked, and behold, they were all dead bodies falling to the earth. None had escaped. And when they came in, they took away their spoil. I mean, for days, they were gathering spoil because it was so much, we're told. Now, this is the part that I want to emphasize today. For 3 days, they were gathering spoil. But what did they do on the fourth day? You know, this is the part that I want to emphasize. You know, and I've preached on this, touched on this topic before. I called it, you know, the wilderness of Tekoa and the valley of Barakah. Because in the wilderness of Tekoa was when the Lord fought their battle for them. But they followed up in the valley of Barakah with, you know, tremendous praises. Look at what they did here. Let's read it. This is 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and verse 26. And on the fourth day, after they had gathered the spoil for 3 days, they assembled themselves in the valley of Barakah. For there they blessed the Lord. Therefore the name of the place was called the valley of Barakah until this day. Then they returned, every man of Judah and Jerusalem and Jehoshaphat in the front of them. Now, Jehoshaphat was always leading the charge, so praise the Lord. And this was a man that knew how to do that. He went in front of them to go again to Jerusalem with joy, for the Lord had made them to rejoice over their enemies. And they came to Jerusalem with psalteries and harps and trumpets into the house of the Lord, praising the Lord. That's what they did after the Lord gave them the victory. You know, and God, the God of Israel, was with them. He fought their battles for them, and they in turn glorified the name of the Lord. You know, with a loud praise, they glorified God with loud psalteries and harps and different things. And God gave them even, I mean, all their enemies, other enemies around them. The fear of God fell upon them to be afraid of Jehoshaphat and Judah. And God gave him rest round about. Praise the Lord. Now, we can see how Jehoshaphat did it. The storyline started with a rumor and rumbling of evil news, terror and destruction coming. So you might hear some evil report or whatever. Well, let's follow the steps that Jehoshaphat did. He was afraid. You would be afraid too. You might be afraid. No, there's nothing wrong with that. If you deal with that fear, the way to deal with the fear we see here is what Jehoshaphat did. He set himself to seek the Lord. He went into prayer and fasting, you know, and then of course, the next thing we know, the word of the Lord came to give him courage. Ha! You can receive encouragement, not only, you know, from a prophetic word from someone external to your situation, but Holy Spirit can remind you of some scriptures, or he can speak directly to you in moments of prayer. You yourself can search the scriptures and find promises that deal with your situation. Every one of those circumstances is the word of the Lord to you, whether someone came and told you, whether the Holy Spirit brought it to your remembrance, whether you yourself found it in the scriptures. It's all the word of the Lord. And the moment you get a hold of God's word of assurance, well, what was the next thing he did? He began to worship. That's right. And so you see the stages that he did. He began to worship. And the Lord told him, well, not today, but tomorrow, you go out against your enemies. But remember, you will not be the one doing the fighting. The Lord will fight for you. So he said, well, why did the Lord say tomorrow and not today? Well, so that today you can worship. That's how it works, ladies and gentlemen, men and brethren. When the Lord promises you victory tomorrow, today you spend the time worshiping and praising the Lord ahead of actually receiving that promise. That's what he did. The moment the word of assurance came, you know, and they don't have all the scriptures. You know, they didn't have all the scriptures then that we have today. You know, so we have no excuses. We can find a lot of assurances, promises in the scriptures for any situations that we face. And we can do the same thing that he did here. As soon as he heard, he worshiped. So, well, I got some time until tomorrow. Let me spend some time in worshiping. And they were beginning to look for people who knew to, you know, how to praise the beauty of holiness. And that's what they did. You know, so they praised the Lord. And they praised the Lord. And they praised the Lord to their victory. But at the end, after all the victory for 3 days, they gathered all the spoil. Then they came back and praised God some more with a loud voice. So take a look at those steps. Number one, an evil report came. Number two, because your heart is afraid because of the evil report, you turn to the Lord with all your heart to seek him, to pray. And that's what you do. And then number three, while doing that, you look for or listen for some, you know, prophetic assurance from the Lord. Either he will tell it to you by voice, by inspiration, through the Holy Spirit, or in search the scriptures to find a promise for yourself. That's number three. And once you get a hold of that promise, then what do you do? Number four, you begin to worship. That's right. You get to worship. You know, you worship. You worship and you worship. And then whatever the Lord tells you to do in that word that will come to you at that time, you do. He might tell you to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, or he might give you some other strategy where you have to do some other thing. Whatever it is, you do. And you make sure you do it exactly as he said. If the Lord says, well, tomorrow, don't try to get it done today, because he said tomorrow. So, in the meantime, well, prepared himself and praised the Lord some more. That's number five. You know, he even gave testimony to all of Judah. You know, gave testimony even ahead of the battle. He said, believe the Lord your God, so shall you be established. Believe also his prophets, and so shall you prosper. Prophet have prophesied of peace to us. We will prosper in this thing. Therefore, believe. And he was strong in faith, encouraging all the people. You know, and then number six, on the day of the thing, he went forth as the Lord commanded him. And of course, they got the victory. And then lastly, number seven, they came back and praised the Lord some more. And then you must never forget that last part. You know, you got to come back and praise the Lord some more. So, on a daily basis, what does that mean for us? Well, it means every new morning, you come back and praise the Lord that he got you through the day before. So, everything that the Lord does for us from day to day, there's so many things that he does for us. We have opportunity at the end of the day, and even at the start of the new day, to praise the Lord for what he's seen us through. This is how the psalmist put it in Psalm 92. He said, it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. In the morning, you find his promises. Well, that can keep you through the day. You latch onto and hold on to whatever it is you are trusting God to do for you in the day. He said, show forth his loving kindness in the morning. That's right. Gather all his loving kindnesses, his promises and everything. Show them forth. You know, present them to your situation. Hallelujah. Present the promises of God against your situation. And then you come back in the night and give praise for his faithfulness. That's what he said. It's a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. To show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night. You know, so every night you come back and praise him because he was faithful and he did what he said he would do. Praise the Lord. So today we are praising the Lord. Now, you know, I want to take time out sometimes, you know, perhaps, you know, Sunday or this or that, you know, just, you know, take time out, praise the Lord. I mean, we just concluded an 8-day series of, you know, getting ready because the coming of the Lord is near. And the Lord said many things to us to help us. Well, I want to praise the Lord. The Lord just took us through various things in your life. Well, we ought to praise the Lord. We have testimonies daily, and we ought to praise the Lord. You know, and I want to assure you that this word of testimony works. You know, we've been teaching how you speak the word and don't doubt it. Just believe it, it works. It'll work. On Friday, my electrician came. I had some projects that he would do in the house. I've been trying to get him for weeks. He would have one excuse or the other. I set the appointment and have some excuse. It's a testimony. And one day he said it was rain, and that time he said his truck broke down. You know, and there was always one thing or the other. So Friday he said he would be there. He wasn't coming on time. I called him. Finally he said he's on his way. And by the time he got there, it was threatening to rain. He had to do some electrical work outside and inside, you know, and it was threatening to rain. In fact, he told me that it was raining from his side. It's on the other side of the valley. And I said, well, I said, it's not going to rain. I just said it like that. He said, well, I'm not going to do this thing if it rains. And you know, that can be dangerous. The electric walk in the rain. I said, it is not going to rain. I said, don't worry about it. That's exactly how I said it. I said, don't worry about it. It's not going to rain. You know, and it was threatening to rain. And then there was, you know, one or two drops of rain. You know, and he said, ah, it's going to rain. I said, what did I just tell you? Don't worry about it. It's not going to rain. And, you know, he did all that work. I mean, he was at my house from about 11 to 3 o'clock, and there was not another single drop of rain. And during that time, there was conversation about that. And I told him, I said, you know, remember how I told you it wasn't going to rain? And the rain that you thought was coming cleared up? He said, yeah. I said, well, do you know how that happened? I said, by faith. I told him, I said, you use your faith in the Lord. So I began to show him the scriptures. I mean, I don't know what he believes. He told me one time that, you know, it's this and that. I said, well, you know, the Bible says when you say it, you believe it, and you don't doubt it, and it will come to pass. And, you know, Jesus put these things out, you know, for everybody. You know, what he said to one, he said to all. You know, whether they were his disciples or his followers or anybody else that would hear the word, he said it to them. So I said it to him. So he looked at me funny. But in my heart, I knew absolutely without the shadow of a doubt that since I said it wasn't going to rain, it wasn't going to rain. It's that simple. That's it. And it did not rain. And he finished his work. He finished everything. I wanted him to do several electrical projects and wiring and different things. And he did it all. And I gave glory to God. I also give glory to God again today. And I said to the Lord, I said, thank you for backing up my word. It actually was going to rain. Trust me, you know. But it didn't rain just because somebody said it's not going to rain. And they did not doubt what they said, but they believed it, that it would come to pass. And it came to pass. You know, the scriptures are powerful like that. I encourage you to practice these things on a daily basis. You know, practice it. And if you practice it long enough in smaller situations, you will find out that it's easier to practice it even in bigger situations. So start practicing today. All you got to do, believe the word of God. And when you believe that word of God, speak the same word of God. And when you say it, well, don't doubt it in your heart. And believe that it's going to come to pass. And it will come to pass. Did you know that in this lesson of Mark 11, and I always go back to this subject of faith. I'm sure you all know that by now. Because it is the thing, you know, without faith, you can't please the Lord. That's why I always go back to it, you know. And Jesus was teaching this thing. The way he said it, he started out by saying, have faith in God. That's the first thing. That's why I say you believe the Lord first. You believe the Lord, you just have faith in God. And then you say to the mountain, Jesus didn't exactly say pray to the mountain or pray about the situation. You know, I mean, some people don't think that you can have that kind of authority to do these things. Well, Jesus is the one that gave it to you. It's not you trying to make anything. I wasn't trying to make anything, you know, but I wasn't even praying to back up what I said. I just said it. I just said, no, it's not going to rain. Because the reason I said it that way was because, you know, I've been trying to get a hold of this man for weeks. Very busy guy. And when he finally came, I find another excuse. I said, no, you're going to do this work today. If rain is what you think is going to withhold you from doing it, then it will not rain. It's that simple. Because you're going to do this thing today. And of course, the Lord did it. So that's a testimony. Let's use our faith and let's use our praises. You know, these things are powerful. You know, they're like a dynamic duo. I mean, your faith, your praise. Praise will pave the way, you know, and faith, of course, can move mountains. You say, can move mountains? Well, absolutely. You know, use your faith. Don't be praying, stand there praying for God to give you more. Use what you got. That's what Jesus said. You know, they said, Lord, increase our faith. And he said, it's not about me increasing your faith. It's about you using what you already have. Even if it was as small as an ponetto grain of mustard seed. Even if it's as little as this, you can do great things with it. So start using your faith. And don't worry about getting more faith. Use what you have. When you use it, it'll grow. That's how actually faith works. You know, you use it enough times, you know, then it becomes a part of you. You know, it becomes second nature for you to now believe God. You now know, I mean, you're not, you know, dilly-dallying about it anymore, because you've done it enough times. You've seen God come through for you enough times. You've seen him back up your word enough times. Not really your word, it's his word in your mouth that you spoke. I said, I just did what Jesus said to do. He said, say it, don't doubt it, believe it. Well, that makes it his word. I just did what he said. And it was so. You know? And so you just do whatever Jesus said, and it will be so. And you do it today, you do it tomorrow, you do it the next day. You know, you do it enough times, it becomes second nature to you. And you're not, you know, you're no more freaking out when situation comes. So, again, you know, summarizing the story of Jehoshaphat, multiple steps. Let's practice those steps. You know, when situation arises and your heart is afraid, immediately turn to the Lord. That's it. You know, turn to the Lord. Because remember, the Lord was always saying, fear not. Because he knows that we will be afraid. You know, there are situations that will come upon us to make us afraid. Now, that's only natural, you know. So, but the Lord will always be there to tell us and give us the word of encouragement, you know. So, what time I am afraid, the psalmist said in Psalm 56 and verse 3, well, what would I do? So, what Jehoshaphat did when he was afraid was he turned his heart toward the Lord to seek the Lord. And when you are seeking the Lord in a moment like that, you better be ready to believe, you know, because God's going to speak to you to assure you. And there, when you hear that word from prophetic word, Holy Spirit telling you something, or you search the scriptures to get it, it's all the same thing. Once you have it, you better believe it and start to worship and start to praise the Lord. Start to believe and even declare your testimony. You know, this is what Jehoshaphat did. While he was getting the praisers ready and trying to tell them how they are going to move in front of the army, people would ask him, you're going to put this untrained people to go in front of army? No. Remember the word of the Lord. We will not be fighting in this battle. That's why you guys are in the battle. You know, some of his generals come to him and say, well, we're ready for this fight now. We've been praying. We're ready. Lord said, Jehoshaphat said, well, that's good. But today, you're not fighting. Today, you're just going to be in the back. These people are going out in front. Nobody understood it, but Jehoshaphat did. And in his heart, he told them, look, when you believe the Lord, everything's going to be good. Then you believe the prophetic word also. And then you will prosper. And he gave that testimony ahead of time. You do the same thing. Revelation 12:11, you use your testimony as a weapon. And I've often told people, I said, when you give testimony at the end of what God did for you, that's great. But if you waited till the end only to give that testimony, then you did not use it as a weapon. But to use it as a weapon, according to Revelation 12 and 11, you must give that testimony before or during, you know, but not wait until after. When do you use weapon when you're fighting? Well, you gather the weapon and use it during the fight. You know, so while the fight is going on, that's when your weapon is useful. So, you know, if you wait until the end, the fight is over, the weapon is no more useful. At that time, you beat your spears into shares or whatever. You're no longer fighting. It's over. So let's change our posture of how we use our testimonies. Usually when we say let's testify, it's because of what the Lord has done, and we've seen the victory 100% complete, and we testify. And that's good. We must continue to do that. However, if you understand this, you can do it both ways. You don't have to wait till the very end only to give your testimony. You can testify ahead, during, hallelujah. You know, during the battle especially, that's when your testimony is most powerful. Because it's a weapon in your hand. So they overcame the devil. Overcome means you are in a fight. by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony. You're using your testimony in the fight. Praise the Lord. And at the end of it all, when you have seen the salvation of the Lord, don't you forget it. You come back. Give the Lord the praise. Give the Lord the praise with as much enthusiasm as when you were praying and believing God. Now, that's a problem most of the time. The story of the 10 lepers that Jesus, you know, healed by his word. And as they went, you know, Jesus was just exercising the same things that he's teaching us to do. He said, well, go show yourself to the priest. That's all he said. He didn't really pray for them. I told them something. Now, why would they go show themselves to the priest? Well, their culture was the lepers that were banished because they didn't want them to infect and contaminate the rest of the people. When you had diseases like that, they told them they were by law banished. They could not enter into the city. They had to stay away, you know, lest the thing would spread. But if somehow they got cured or they believed that the thing is over, well, then they had to go show their selves to the priest. And the priest would certify that they're good. They can re-enter the society. So these people were lepers. And Jesus said, go show yourself to the priest. Now, you don't go show yourself to the priest unless your leprosy is gone. And your leprosy is gone, then you go show yourself to the priest. And that's how you can re-enter the society after this priest clears you. But Jesus said, go show yourself to the priest. So Jesus was actually exercising the same word of faith. And he knew that if they went to show themselves to the priest, well, that means they are saying that they are healed. But that's the only reason you go show yourself to the priest. So Jesus just said, go show yourself to the priest. And after the custom of Moses, go do it. And so they were going to do it as they were going. You know, remember, they could only be going to show themselves to the priest when they believed that they were cured. And have this priest check them out and say, yep, all good. Go back in the society. So by they acting on the word that Jesus said, and Jesus saying it that way, were putting them in a situation where their action of going to show the priest was actually telling that they had believed that they were healed. I mean, it's amazing the way Jesus simply said things. A lot of, very complex, you know, revelation inside of it. But as they went, well, their skin, he just came back. Skin of a kid, like a baby, everything cleansed just by their going. Jesus didn't pray. Didn't tell them to go deep in Jordan. He didn't tell them to do any such thing. He said, go push yourself to the priest. And when they saw that they were healed, the Bible says that one of them returned. The others went rejoicing. Hollering and rejoicing and so forth. You know, maybe they went to show themselves to the priest like this, like he said. They probably return to their family, rejoicing and so forth. But not any one of those nine people returned to praise the Lord. But one of the 10 lepers, he returned and gave glory to God. And we are told that he did it with a loud voice. With a loud voice, glorified God. You can read that story in John 17, verses 11 to 19 or something like that. He returned and gave glory to God with a loud voice. And so that's what we need to do. If you are passionate, when you are praying for something, you are fasting, you are praying, you are crying to God, you are yelling, you are believing God, you are doing this, decreeing and doing that. Well, you know, will you return to God at the end of the victory with the same, you know, passion and the same, zeal to praise the Lord like you were? I mean, the energy that we put into prayer when we are believing God, and we put the same energy into praising the Lord when he has done the thing. Well, that's our exhortation today. So let's praise the Lord. I want us to praise the Lord some more. And I'm going to pray, give thanks to the Lord. And then I want us to praise the Lord some more. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you and praise you, Lord, for all. In fact, if we were to stay here, count and number all the things that you had done, continue to do for us on a daily basis, well, time would not permit. Psalmist said in Psalm 40, he said, I cannot reckon. If I were to count what you've done, it cannot be reckoned unto thee for number. Lord, we want to say, thank you. Thank you, Father, for all that you do. Sometimes there are some things we don't even know. Some battles you fight for us without even telling us. Various things you keep at bay from us that we don't even know about. And even some, the ones we know, Lord, that we don't thank and praise you enough. But today, we want to thank and we want to praise the Lord. So thank you, Lord, for all of your mercies, all of your goodness to us, everything that you do for us on a daily basis. I pray and I thank you on behalf of myself and all my brethren that are here. I pray and give you praise everything that you've been doing for us. We thank you. And I pray, Lord, that you would teach us, Lord, to turn our eyes to you when situation arises against us, like we read in this story. To set ourselves and our hearts to seek the Lord, but of course to believe your word too, and to give you praise. Give you praise. Instead of praise the Lord on high, the loud voice. I want to praise you, Lord. Let not our voices be silent when it comes to praising the Lord. It's time to praise the Lord. I give you, Lord, the praise. I give you, Lord, the glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.